Shut up and sit down.
I am Nate.
And I'm Jim.
And we have Jamal here today on the Problem Reaction Solution Network. We are a bunch of crazy anarchists. But the difference is we are peaceful. We believe in the non-aggression principle, peaceful parenting, and just loving thy neighbor in every possible way. Even if you disagree with them, even if you don't ever want to talk to them. Let's love each other. Jamal, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good, good.
Excellent.
Jim, how are you today?
I'm wonderful.
That's great.
I've got hot coffee in my hand.
Hot coffee is good. I got it here, too. I don't have it in my hand because it's hot.
Okay.
Jamal, how are you? You're good. How's the band going, man?
Well, since the last time I've been here, we've had quite a setback. Our singer has decided that he would prefer the family life over the musician life. And that's a decision that a lot of musicians have to face at some point in time.
And you got to respect it.
Yep. And so now we are basically going to start an audition process and see if we can find somebody that can perform at least his level and see where we can go from there.
No audition needed. I'm right here.
All right.
Here we go. I'm right here, man.
Well, we were going to, before we even, you know, announce like the topic that we're talking about, let's start with a little bit of a YouTube clip here.
She never had had shots, and I'm mad with my government because they knew the facts, but they didn't release those facts because if they had released them, the people wouldn't have taken. And they can come out tomorrow and tell me there's going to be an epidemic, and they can drop off like flies to Mexico. I will not take another shot that my government tells me to take.
Meantime, Judy Roberts and some 4,000 others like her are still waiting for their day in court.
So, that was a...
It's not done. It's not done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't need another flu shot. I had a flu shot last year.
A swine flu epidemic may be coming.
Swine flu shot? Well, I don't know. I've been thinking about it.
It could make you very sick.
Swine flu? Man, I'm too fast for that to catch me.
You'll want to be protected.
I'm the healthiest 55-year-old you've ever seen. Hey, I play golf every weekend.
Get a shot of protection.
He's older than 55.
Joe brought it home from the office. He gave it to Betty and one of his kids and to Betty's mother. But Betty's mother went back to California the next day. On her way to the airport, she gave it to a cab driver, a ticket agent, and one of the charming stewardesses. At school, Joe's kid gave it to some other kids, and Mrs. Merrill got it and gave it to her husband. In California, Betty's mother gave it to her best friend, Dottie. But Dottie had a heart condition and she died. But before she died, Dottie gave it to her girlfriend, the mailman, the paper boy, and the vet when she went to pick up her chihuahua.
If a swine flu epidemic comes, this is how it could spread. You'll want to be protected, especially if you're elderly or chronically ill. Get a shot of protection, the swine flu shot.
What you just saw here on the Problem Reaction Solution Network was a clip from 60 Minutes. We urge all the listeners to go to YouTube and check it out. Jim, what's the swine flu fraud of 1976 on 60 Minutes? Check it out on YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes or any other format,
we'll put a link to it in the show
notes. We'll have a link in the show notes, and you know, if you're listening or watching, go check it out either way.
First of all, can I step out and make a doctor appointment so I can get my flu shot?
Yes.
Swine flu shot?
Yes, you should.
Because I'm pretty scared right now.
That's a powerful message from 1976. You should be scared.
Actually, that was the end of a 16-minute clip from 60 Minutes from 1976 on the swine flu, not the epidemic, but the problems that resulted from an untested vaccine that they put out to the public. Like I said, I'm going to put it in the show notes. Otherwise, you can just search the swine flu fraud of 1976 on 60 Minutes. And we have Jamal in today to talk about vaccines. Now, Jamal, you work at McDonald's, so you know everything about the medical industry, right?
Well, you know, I do work in healthcare, but I am not an expert in any means. But I do a lot of research on my free time, looking at basically not only, you know, healthcare things, but things that relate to corruption between corporations like Big Pharma and government. And within that, you're going to have a lot of situations where vaccines are going to be pushed in a certain way to make money, or they're going to not be tested to save money, or whatever. And, you know, sometimes these things aren't 100% completely safe. And I guess, you know, when it comes to talking about vaccines, it's a very touchy topic because people want to believe that because some scientist said something, that it's absolutely the truth. This time in our life now, scientists are paid by their employers who happen to be these big industry folks. All these drugs kind of have to be tested, but when you kind of control the scientists and when you control the actual official that's, you know, in the government, whether it's the CDC or the FDA, you can certainly push things through. And there is a result that happens from that, and some people are injured.
That clip we just saw from 60 Minutes there, 76, is exposing fraud in the CDC back then. And the new movie Vaxxed that has came out, they were cut it from the Tribeca Film Festival because of the controversy behind it. Which is weird. The Tribeca Film Festival has hosted films, documentaries about saying that the president knew about 9/11 and planned 9/11, but they won't have a controversial film like Vaxxed on there. It's just interesting. I haven't seen the film yet, and I'm very curious. I want to see it, but the film says there's fraud in the CDC still today. So we got 40 years or more of fraud, and there has been reporting on it and stuff, but the idea is people are still denying it because the government and the mainstream media nowadays, back then in 76, they were apparently doing their job, but nowadays they're complacent and compliant and the government and the scientists, like you said, Jamal, are telling us that, oh well, that fraud that they're saying is out there is just lies. It's not real. But there's a lot of evidence out there that says otherwise. And you said you've done a lot of research on it. So tell us a little bit about this fraud and what you know about it.
Well, I'd like to start off first. I mean, like I said, this is a tough topic because people want to believe it, and they kind of shape the debate and they kind of put people in two camps. You're either a pro-vaccine person who accepts everything that's being told, or you're a denier who doesn't believe in vaccines at all and would rather have your kid get sick and die. And the truth is always somewhere in the middle. I'm not going to claim that vaccines haven't done well or haven't done their purpose. But my stance on it is that there is a consequence. There are people that are injured by these things, and that should be common knowledge. So people can make up their own minds about, you know, the risks that they're putting their family into. You know, you do that in your everyday life. You know,
right? We do it with everything, whether it's getting in the car, the type of car seats we buy, the type of for your kids, anything, any decisions you make when it regards your family or even yourself on a daily basis. Oh, should I take a turn right now when this car is coming? Should I not? I'm pushing it. Maybe I should wait to have more clearance. You know, it's every all these decisions. You're 100% right. Sorry to interrupt, but that's a really good point I think to make is. When we have the freedom to make all these other decisions that affect our safety in different ways on some small levels or big levels, how it affects our safety differently. But when it comes to scientists on certain issues that put in things that scientists have created and different vaccines, like for example, into your body, which again, we're not saying we're not anti-vaccine. We're pro-safe vaccines. But putting these different things in our body, you know, making these choices, we just leave it up to, well, they said it's good. The government or these scientists said it's good, so we got to believe them.
Right. And so, like, if we don't have, since, you know, this podcast and a ton of other people out there, we believe in the free market. We believe that the consumer has a lot of power. Now, what can draw like safer vaccines is knowledge of, you know, the consequences of some of these. If we are in the dark about what can really happen if you get a shot, there will be no demand for a product to be safer. I don't believe that, you know, there's somebody trying to make these things unsafe on purpose. But if there's nobody holding their feet to the fire, holding them accountable, there's going to be an acceptable amount of loss that they're going to just write off. I think we have to be the ones that demand something safer. And by doing that, I mean, we can do that by being informed about it. And so that's one of the things that I'd like to talk about is basically how much kind of we're kept in the dark about what these things can actually do. The propaganda that is behind this is so strong. And, you know, these days nobody wants to be considered, you know, an idiot. The safe bet, you know, to not look like a fool is to accept what you're told because it comes from, you know, an official source.
And then when someone questions you about it, you say, well, they just can't because of that reason. They don't want to look like a fool. They haven't done the research themselves. They say, well, the government and the CDC, the top doctors and scientists out there say that it's good. So there's no questioning it. There's no arguing it. I'm right because of the statist point of view where they just go along to get along. They don't question. And when someone questions them or questions the official narrative, the official authority story, then we're wrong because we're not that we're just some individuals that who decides to question the authority, you know.
Yeah, I've had people try to shut me down when I talk about certain subjects that, you know, I happen to do a lot of research on. I read up on a lot of stuff. I'm always searching stuff. And because I've done it a lot, it's kind of gotten easier and easier for me to understand what I'm looking at, whether it's propaganda, what's true. I try to look at real studies. But, you know, I've had people try to shut me down and say, well, you're not a doctor, so you don't know about this. You're not a scientist, so you can't talk about this. And that is just a tactic used to shut down debate. Because, you know, when I'm not a car mechanic, but when my car breaks down, am I not allowed to say what went wrong? Or am I not allowed, you know, can I not draw a conclusion about what went wrong with my limited knowledge of the car? I can't build a car myself. You know, but I can repair a car.
Sure, right. Things, you know. That, it goes with anything. People say, well, you don't know about this. You're not a doctor. You're not a mechanic. You're not. How can you know about this? Well, just because I'm not an expert on it doesn't mean that I don't have an opinion on it.
Well, these people that are shutting you down, what the hell do they know? They're not scientists or doctors.
Right, but it's just a lot easier for them to do that. You know, they don't want to stick their neck out and look like a fool. I don't know if it's conscious or subconscious or a little bit of both, but I think you know, it's just the safe thing to do. You know, you don't want to look bad, and so you're afraid to go out on a limb on stuff. And I don't feel like, for instance, that I go out on a limb on it because I've looked at it enough. I've really researched this stuff when I can. I spend a lot of my free time looking into things like this. You know, and I didn't just start looking at this stuff. I just kind of went down, you know, the rabbit hole, as they like to say, where you start looking, you see like a cover-up between corporations and government, and then you realized, you know, the more you look into it, the more you research it, the more you see it spills into every little aspect and every little, whether it's agriculture or pharmaceutical, energy, anything. So you can look at any of those like departments and you can see the collusion that they have with corporations. So it's everywhere. And for some people to just deny that in this particular case it's not happening is kind of naive because, you know, you can get a lot of people to admit that, oh yeah, the big corporations are the bad guys, that's why we need to vote for Bernie Sanders. But the big pharmaceutical companies somehow make the holy grail of, you know, things like pills, or which we know kill people, and vaccines. But for some reason, vaccines are held at this higher, you know, level that you just can't question them. But you should question everything all the time. And that's the only way you're going to actually have you know, a true discussion on this. It's got to stand. Everything's got to be on trial somehow. In our minds, we got to learn, and we got to question everything. And in order for us to, you know, if for something's really safe, it should be able to hold up there should be no reason to be able to question it. But a lot of people wanted to say, hey, the debate is over with a lot of particular topics, and it's not. It's always somewhere in the middle.
You know, you brought up cars earlier. So cars are safe. End of story. Let's not improve on cars.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's right. That's 100% right. You know, it's just one of those things where and I truly attribute it to having this status mentality that is about we need to protect the collective. We need to protect the people. We need to it's all about the benefiting society, which I think we're all about benefiting society. But the idea behind the status mentality of benefiting society is having accomplish it through a government. And it's not the way this should work. None of it should work. I mean, that's why when the government recently with Obamacare in the last 4 or 5 years nationalized, they socialized, they made 1/6 of the economy a government program. 1/6 of the economy is healthcare. 1/6 of the economy, and they socialized it. So you know, it's just this idea that we need to have all these things to protect the people. And it's what it is doing is doing harm. Stefan Molyneux makes a really good point. He said it in a few different videos that I hear. He always brings back, and he always brings it back around. He says, sorry, my mic's cutting out. He always brings it back around. And he says, you know, he relates it to the idea of a female in an abusive relationship, right? You stick in that relationship, even though you're being abused, for whatever reason, you stay with that guy. For whatever reason, you stay with that guy. And then what happens at one point, at some point, that abusive relationship? You know where I'm going here, Jim?
I kind of want to bring your tangent back to ground.
Right. Okay, sure.
But okay, so what Nate's getting to,
yeah,
is, you know, government regulation and then government writing off on this stuff being safe. And most people think that government's out there to protect you. But in fact, you know, the government regulation and the CDC and all this, it's almost to cover their own asses and the fact that they're in bed with some of these large companies, right? I mean, am I right or wrong?
You're 100% correct.
Do you have anything to add to that? You know, the whole government writing off on this and certain regulations and that kind of thing.
Let's see. So basically, if you don't know already, there is a revolving door that involves basically government and big corporations. So what will happen is that a corporation will lobby to get one of their individuals in to one of these department head jobs, and that will allow them favors and so forth to get maybe whether it's a pill approved quicker or whatever. Or if they don't actually have, like, let's say the corporation doesn't actually have somebody in their pocket that's in the FDA or something, what they will do is they will promise them a high-paying job once they get out of office. So, yes, there's the revolving door between industry and government, and it's highly profitable. That's why you just can't trust everything, you know, that they tell you. I don't know if I answered your question on that, but this particular, what you heard when you first started watching or listening was the 60 Minutes episode on the swine flu fraud. Well, the thing is, like, what people don't know about vaccines is it does not have a very good history of being free of controversy. There's a reason why a lot of people out there still don't trust them. And now I'm not an anti-vaccine person. I believe that they have done a good job. It's just that it's okay for people to question. I think it's completely okay for people to question this because there has been a long history established of, and it goes all the way back from the beginning. If you look at, like, you know, one of the big things that people like to bring back is, like, talk about is polio. Like, oh, we almost eradicated polio from the planet because of our initiative to vaccinate everybody. All you have to do is Google the SV40 virus, and that was in those polio vaccines, and that turned out to be a controversy in itself. And even after they realized that, you know, the potential dangers of having this virus in this camp and this vaccine, they still continued to give this out to millions of people. So the problem is you have now scientists that can prove that, hey, this SV40 virus did cause cancer in monkeys. But there is nothing out there saying, hey, yeah, it causes cancer in people. I mean, there's speculation and everything like that. But because government tells us it's safe, they can kind of keep us from asking that question. Well, how do we know it's safe? All they got to do is say, well, you know, scientists have already determined, our studies have already determined, blah, blah, blah. But we know that it does cause cancer. So does it cause cancer in people? I don't see why it couldn't. I mean, is there something – I mean, obviously, I'm not an expert on DNA, but we obviously research on monkeys for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. If we research on different animals, we try to pick ones somewhat close to us or we share a lot of DNA with, right?
Right.
So otherwise, what kind of really, you know, study is that? Obviously, they do human trials and things like that. And you can even Google, like, recent stories of, like, what they'll go – they'll what a vaccine corporation will do is they'll go to some poor place in South America or something like that, and they will, you know, target the poor and pay them money to test trials on them or their children, and they do end up having to pay for some of these children that they kill. You know, that's why when you listen to or see a TV commercial on pills, they do say, like, death is one of the side effects. It could result in death or this stuff. That's stuff that's happened during trials, and that's why they have to say it in the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't just say it if it wasn't something that actually happened in the...
The bulk of the commercial is, you know, how this depressant drug or whatever is going to make your life so much better, and then the last, like, half of a second, it goes through real quick on... all these, you know, bad side effects, including death.
Yes, and stuff that seems almost worse than death sometimes, you know.
Right.
What I find it fascinating is there's all this evidence that people die from things like the particular drug Vioxx that the FDA had to remove from the market. Now, get this. Now, every drug that the FDA actually removes from the market is one they've actually approved in the first place, right?
Right.
And in order for it to be approved, it takes millions of dollars. It takes a long process. There's studies that are involved, and then the FDA will sign off on it, right? Well, why does it turn out that it kills some people? You know, it kills thousands and thousands of people, and that takes forever to get pulled off the market. Now, that company that makes Vioxx is Merck. And Merck is the one responsible for a lot of vaccines as well. Now, it didn't. A few years ago, it came out that, you know, when they knew Vioxx was killing people, some scientists had come forth and said, "Hey, you know, this is killing people." And what did Merck do? They put out emails amongst themselves with a plan to literally say, in these exact words, destroy this person for, you know, speaking out on their product. Now, this is the same company that was responsible for the swine flu fraud that was given to millions of people, injured thousands, and off of no confirmed cases. Now, they were doing that in the 70s. They were doing that in the 80s. They were doing that in the 90s. They're still doing it today. But yet people will sit there and trust Merck with their vaccines like it's the untouchable thing. You can't question that. But it's clear evidence that the pharmaceutical industry has killed tons of people. Now, according to the FDA, and I think this was a few years ago, but you can still pull it up on the website. I forget what it's called. It's an adverse reaction from pills. It is the fourth leading cause of death in America. And that is, it would injure per year, injure 2 million people and kill about 44,000 people a year. And these were not from prescription pills being abused. These were pills being taken as prescribed by their doctors. Now, if you think about how damaging that is, you know, that, I mean, that kills more people than guns. It injures more people than guns. So you'll have people screaming about that particular topic, the, you know, guns, but then completely ignoring anything on the pharmaceutical side of that. So if we have a system that kills people and injures millions, then why is it that we can't question a vaccine? I mean, it just seems to me that the companies lack ethics. They obviously don't seem to have that much compassion if they're specifically trying to destroy somebody mm-hmm. that's trying to shed light on the fact that their products are dangerous. So you can Google, like, GlaxoSmithKline is another one of those corporations that has been caught bribing countries to get their drugs in, falsifying test results. There are whistleblowers at Merck coming out and saying, hey, we did rig and tamper tests to get the results we wanted. It's never ending. GlaxoSmithKline found guilty of bribery in China. $500 million in bribery. You know?
Right. Well, wherever there's big money, there's always corruption, there's always fraud, and that goes with anything, business or government. You know, it's... I'm just thinking as you're talking and making all these great points, I'm thinking about my own son. What's going to happen as he gets older, and he, you know, he's already had his fair share of shots, and I've been skeptical, but luckily he seems to be completely fine as of right now. But and I'm not, you know, there's certain things that as a baby that I support him getting, that, you know, certain ones that are safe and that are help these young children. And but you know, I'm thinking about it like just kind of on what a hypothetical scenario, which is not very unique or hypothetical at all. It happens all over the country, and it's been so much more prevalent since from when we were kids in the 80s and up to now, where ADHD, just a little example, ADHD or ADD, right? How many kids were diagnosed with that, and which is a mild disorder of just hyper kids, basically kids being kids, right? But nowadays, how many kids are diagnosed with ADD or ADHD, and then they are put on some sort of med or prescription or something, and so many parents just say, well, I'm sick of my kid being so hyper, I can't control my kid. Most of them are probably just like, I don't want to, spend the time or the effort or my energy to control my kids. You know, I'm just with nowadays in our modern era, people are consumed by so many other things and actually real responsibilities, like understanding why their kids are acting the way they are. And so, you know, I think about it, and I really hope if my kid is ever like that, because my parents brought me to a couple different doctors when I was young to get a couple different viewpoints on it and perspectives, and they all said, yeah, he's probably got ADD, but he doesn't really need anything. You know, most of them said, I think one doctor they said that, yeah, maybe we should prescribe him something, but my parents didn't even really consider it, and it wasn't even anything big of a deal because I was a kid. You know, they didn't really think much of it. It was to them, it wasn't like anything normal. He's any disabilities or anything. He's just a hyper kid, and that's how it is. If my kid's ever like that, I am gonna do a lot of research. And if they ever say, well, I want to prescribe your kid something because they got ADD or something, I'm gonna really at first I'm gonna deny it, and I'm gonna go home and talk to my wife about it, and we'll decide, make an educated decision. But it's just one of these things where, you know, so many people just give in right away. They say, here's what the situation is. We got to give you some pills. We got to give you this. And we are overwhelmed, bombarded on TV. You watch commercials, and every commercial at least on each break, no matter what channel you're on, at least one commercial each break is something about some sort of pill or some sort of something. And like you guys said, you guys are both right. It's just crazy to look at at the end of the commercial, you see all the fine print, or the guy that talks real fast at the end and says, here are all the side effects if you do this or if you do that, or if you take a step, you're going to die. But take it anyway, because your doctor says, make sure you ask your doctor first. And then, you know, it's just one of, it's, I don't
know.
Yeah,
you know, you could, if you take this, your skin will be better, but you might have anal bleeding.
Right, right. Which do you prefer, you know?
Yeah,
let's go for the cosmetics here.
Exactly.
It's so anyways, you know, to question, even have these beliefs that we have on this show, we got to question them still. We got to look at them, analyze them from a logical adult perspective and still question them. But the reason why we have these standpoints and these viewpoints is because the mainstream is not questioning the mainstream, right? The mainstream media, the mainstream anything is not questioning the mainstream government, which is the same scenario, same agenda.
Or the businesses that are in bed with the government.
Right,
and
right.
You watch your favorite 24-hour news channel. Watch these channels during the day and tell me what's on, you know, in the commercial breaks. And it's medication mm-hmm. after medication after right. medication.
Right.
So why would that news organization want to question the same people that's funding them?
Right.
You know?
And what's the main especially during the day and on commercials, the main age group that they're targeting is mainly senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And why would they want to target the baby boomers? Why would they want to target the so-called greatest generation from World War II, right? That served in the military, that served, you know, that was part of that generation. The greatest generation, I guess, was before the baby boomers. But, you know, why would they want to even there's still plenty of greatest generations around World War II people. And there's also the baby boomers or the retirees now, that generation that are getting in their 60s and 70s and even later. And why would they want to target them? There's a bigger agenda behind it. They want to make them docile. They want to have them on as many meds as they can because they have so many age problem related problems, right? Aging related problems. And they want to make them docile. They say, well, you got this, you got this, you got this, you got this. Let's put you on these five or four different. I mean, how many things people have you seen are on TV or anything? I've seen it in person. I know people myself, older folks that have these little long things. It says MTW. It shows all the days of the week. And they have a bunch of different pills. They take three or four different pills a day. And, well, yeah, I got this. I got a little bit of depression. And it's not bad, but I got all these different things. I'm going to take all these different pills.
And they're taking pills to counteract side effects from other pills right. on top of that.
It's just an insane world we live in, and people got to understand that this is not a natural thing. Technology and science is a natural human response to making our lives better. So that's we should embrace certain technologies and science that proven vaccines that have proven safe and helpful. And proven science and all these other things, we should embrace that stuff, but we should also question the same people that are giving out other information that is saying that it's safe for us. We have to question it as a society. You know, and especially if you have kids and if you care about kids, whether they have them or not, you care about our future, the generations that are going to, you know, be taking care of us when we're retiring. And, you know, we have to understand this stuff. And listeners, anybody that's viewing this or listening to the Problem Reaction Solution Network, that's why we're talking about this stuff. You know, that's why we have Jamal on as our first repeat guest of our show here, because we want to get to the bottom of a lot of these things and make people aware of it. Where should we go next?
Well, one of the things I want to talk more about vaccines is one of the concerns is, you know, the components of a vaccine. a lot of them can have an organic mercury called thimerosal, right? The thing is they will tell you over and over again that this thimerosal is safe, but if you just look at just Google thimerosal, even the FDA will come and say, well, you know, it is an organic mercury, and organic mercury is bad, especially on developing brains for, like, the younger the child, the more it can cause a problem. But in small doses, it doesn't do much. But in the FDA is saying right now, but because of the ever-increasing vaccine schedule that children have, because children now get more vaccines than children did, you know, decades ago, that because there is a concern, they're actually trying to put an initiative forward to get thimerosal taken out of or reduced out of vaccines. Now, to me, that's kind of like not admitting, but admitting at the same time that, okay, you know, there are some concerns, and because kids are getting more and more vaccines, that we are going to do something. Well,
I've looked into this, and they're actually taking, or they've been taking thimerosal out of childhood vaccines. Is that right?
Supposedly.
Supposedly.
They're still in there. Basically, what I've seen is they talk about it, but I haven't seen a whole lot of actual doing that. You know, and I see on the computer screen SIDS. Now, I looked up a study once and I can definitely share it on, you know, on this page or have it linked to if once I find it again, that showed that people just receiving this particular flu vaccine, that there was all kinds of side effects that some people did have. And I want to say it was somewhere in like the 800 range where there were like 800 cases of SIDS mm-hmm. that occurred during this time. Now, if that's not disturbing enough, at the summary of this study, it said that it didn't receive any unexpected results. It basically kind of assumed that there would be some of this, you know, and that's the kind of thing that's really scary. Like that's an acceptable loss in order to fight a flu, you know, across the country. Well, some people are going to die,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that kind of concerns me a little bit. Now, obviously, some people will die if they eat peanuts, right?
Yep.
All of our bodies are completely different. We all can't eat the same things. We all can't do the same things and all be the same and have the same effects. So, you know, I'm not saying that everything needs to be perfect, you know, but that's something that we do need to look at is there a cause in these vaccines that is responsible for it? Because, you know, if it doesn't happen to you, it might not hit home, you know, until it actually happens to you. Then you're going to be out there with a picket sign saying, I should have known and I should have had, you know, we should have been told this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so a lot, it's just really easy to take a stance, trust everybody else saying, you know, with like science and all this stuff that, and I'm not anti-science, by the way. I love science. I'm a total geek for science. But science is all about correcting itself. There will always be some scientific study that might prove a previous scientific study wrong or that it was right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the good thing about science is it self-corrects. You know, but at the same time, you have to recognize that is science. That is what science does. So that means you can't just listen to science, the latest thing that science says, and think that that's 100% accurate. It's just basically a theory or an interpretation from results on that. It doesn't mean it's correct at that point. And one of the like examples I wanted to bring up, and I know I'm going on a tangent here, but there was a theory going around that most of your DNA that you have is junk DNA. Well, that turned out to be not true. But a lot of people that I knew, a lot of really smart, educated, you know, intellectual folks were saying that, oh, yeah, you know, it's not a big deal. Most of your DNA is just junk anyway. And we would talk about that kind of stuff. And I at the time, I didn't believe it either. But, you know, who am I to argue with scientists, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But as I've got older, I like that just doesn't make any sense that we would have this DNA that we don't actually use.
Right.
And so now that, you know, there's been studies saying, well, you know, there are most of it's not junk DNA. There are things that turn on different functions of your body and trigger certain things, so that it all kinds of has a purpose. It makes sense,
right?
It just seems completely inefficient, you know, to not have or to have mostly DNA that doesn't do anything. So,
you know, I look at it this way in regards to, and you can look at it this way. I know many different things, but in regards to vaccines and stuff, you have a lot of really smart people. A lot of really well-respected people that are saying, "Don't listen to these studies. That things are fine. Get vaccinated. Whatever. Even you know, most of this stuff is just stupid and people trying to make money off it." Well, then you have a lot of really smart people and really well-respected people on the other side that say the opposite and say that they put out documentaries like Vaxxed and say, you know, the public needs to be aware of these things. There's fraud in the CDC. There's fraud in the government behind these things and fraud in the big pharma. And again, the way I look at it is who stands to make more money off of their side? Who stands to make more money off their argument? The people that are supporting big pharma and saying that everything is all right, or the people that are not the people that are saying the opposite, right? You can argue and say, well, all these people are making these anti-vaxxers and they're making these documentaries saying they're exposing fraud and this and that. They're just out to make money off their films and they're
Jenny McCarthy just wants to sell her book, right?
Right. Exactly. You know, the idea is that, yeah, sure, they want to make a little bit of money, but at the same time, they're not making anywhere near the billions that big pharmaceuticals bring in. Mm-hmm. You know, it is an extraordinary amount of money that people cannot comprehend, the amount of money that these big pharmaceuticals are making. And people need to understand that it doesn't matter. You can say that about anything. Well, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. The people that are saying this are just trying to make some money off their film, or Alex Jones is trying to make money off this and that. But, well, you know, the people that he's saying that are corrupt and are fraud and this and that, they stand to lose a lot more money than what, or they stand to make a lot more money. And they stand to lose and make a lot more money. You know, it's, people need to understand this. It's you follow the big money, you know, it's follow the money.
You know, it's not just, you know, regular folks either that, you know, are skeptical of vaccines. You actually have situations in court cases now where they, you know, they try to force vaccinations like flu shots and things like that in hospitals. So if you work in a hospital, you have to get this shot.
Right.
And you can actually see court cases now where nurses are saying, no, I don't want to do that. You guys, there's doctors that say, no, I don't want to do that. And they have their belief. Well, so they work in that industry. You know, maybe they know something I don't know, too, you know. But there are people on both sides of the fence in all fields in that area that, you know, are kind of concerned with just getting shots every year. And the thing is, you know, you said earlier about, like, you know, reducing it out of childhood vaccines. Now, that is definitely that been their kind of the mission statement to do. But for instance, the flu shots every year, they push them at my work, right? And I'm one of those people that I don't take them. Most people are clamoring; they're almost excited to take them at my job.
I've noticed that too. I know that my work offers
it's a huge free conversation. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, it's free, really?
Yeah.
What about the, you know, What about the 3 days off of work that you have to take because you ended up getting the goddamn flu?
And some of them do say, and that's the funny thing, is because some of them say, I won't take them again because I got sick or whatever. You know, and that could be a misunderstanding, or it could have really got them sick. But
right.
So what I do is I actually go, you can look up the actual, you know, like inserts for particular vaccines. You mm-hmm. can look and you can go to like Merck.com and find out all their information on stuff like that. And there's still thimerosal in those flu shots, and you're giving those flu shots to kids, you know, and that's a yearly one. It's a yearly shot, you know, and they proved what last year they came out with a huge news story that said, well, you know, everybody that got treated with a flu shot last year, it was basically worthless because it wasn't the exact strain that was going around and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, it's a gamble either way. You know, if you want to take them, then fine, that's great. Take them. In my opinion, don't force them on other people. It's all about informed consent. Mm-hmm. That the person getting it has to give consent, and they have to be informed about, like, what are, you know, the pros and cons of both things. They have to be given a chance or an opportunity to know what they're getting themselves into.
If we ever have a zombie outbreak, right, and there's this big flu going around, and then the final side effect is turning into a zombie after you die or something, you pass away from a horrible flu, and then you turn into a zombie, and we just have this zombie apocalypse, right? They're going to be pushing vaccines just like they would with anything else, Ebola, Zika, any, you know, the swine flu, anything else, and just, you know, well, if you get bit by this dead human, if you have the vaccine, you'll be safe. You know, I don't know where the hell I'm going with this. It's a stupid story. But I'm just saying, you know, the ridiculousness of like that video we watched in the beginning. If you, for the viewers, if you go and check out that video, again, look back to the beginning of the episode here to get the name of the video and stuff. But the whole video, they talk about how this propaganda machine that is being pushed, and it's being pushed by a government agency, which is the CDC, and on a bigger level, besides just in the health area, which is 1/6 of the economy, there's a propaganda push in many different ways. And really what it is, it comes down to a statist propaganda. It's a statist, whatever it is, they want to push the statist idea, statist society, that we need to continue to vote for people that are going to keep us safe and protect us. And it's the same thing year after year after year. It's the same thing. It will never change. That's one thing that you got to... You know, George Carlin was right on. He was right on when he listened to some of his last interviews. He didn't give a shit. He just went out and said, "They do not give a fuck about you. They do not give a fuck about you." And it's true. You know, I've decided. Sorry to get on this tangent here, but I've decided after a lot of research and after doing these, starting this podcast and really, really analyzing it, having different great guests on, and really talking, getting into the crux of a lot of these issues and understanding things and doing a lot of research, I'm not against voting, and I'm not against whatever people want to do individually. They should do it. But I have decided wholeheartedly that I am not going to vote. I'm not in any position, first of all, to tell anybody not to or to vote. But on a bigger level, I'm not any. My opinion shouldn't matter. Everybody should do what they feel in their heart is the right thing, whether they believe in statism or not. If you still want to vote, if you're an anarchist and you don't believe in statism, you still want to vote, good. Go do it. I support it. I support the people that have died because they have gone on, put their lives on the line for their understanding, even if they were misled, their understanding of democracy, and they said, you know, I want to be a soldier. I want to go out there and put my life on the line for my country because I believe in people having the right to a representative government and being able to choose for themselves by their vote. But even if they were lied to about that, you know, I believe that a lot of them were lied to, and what they're really doing is fighting for the machine. That's been around for a long time, whatever you want to call it, you know, and there's no conspiracy theory. This is just how life is. We all understand that. Where I'm going with this is we need to get out of that mentality. We need to, you know, that's why I've decided not to vote. I have 100% come to the conclusion that organizing for anarchists, especially anarcho-capitalists, is huge. We need to organize in a big way, get numbers and win the hearts and minds. And like Mark Victor, the attorney for freedom, said at Anarcho-Poco, I mentioned it last episode, one of the things he said that I didn't mention was winning the hearts and minds. Okay, I mentioned that, but he was saying, you know, we need to... you know, voting is all right. He ran for Congress in Arizona, I believe. I think he said Congress, maybe a Senate. But he ran for Congress. Let's say it was Congress. He ran for Congress, and he didn't win. But one thing he pointed out is when he ran, he did not vote for himself. He campaigned. He got other people to vote for him. But he said, I did not vote. I haven't voted in over 20 years. When I ran for Congress, I didn't vote for myself. It's just a principle that I'm sticking to. Even though I was trying to get into that machine, trying to be a part of it by being an elected official. You know, he's still anarcho-capitalist all the way because he wants to win the hearts and minds of people. He wants to get in there, infect the machine with his, you know, he understands. He needs to infect the machine just like they've infected us, infected our country with this virus that is statism, that is, you know. And, yeah, it's a world we live in today, and it's, I think, something people just really need to think about, and that's why I love having these discussions, and whether we talk about vaccines, anti-vaccines, pro-vaccines, or just anything in general.
Pro-safe vaccines.
Right, pro-safe vaccines. That's a big thing that we want to get across here. We are not crazy death wish coffee guys. We wanna be safe and have our children be safe, and I'm out of breath.
Well, you know, there's been a few other particular incidences that when it comes to like vaccines that I think can be brought up. Like one, a lot of people, especially with people with young kids, their concern is the whooping cough one. And there was a series of news stories that came out about like, why is this whooping cough showing up in like the most vaccinated areas for whooping cough? And I seen this story for about a year or two. There's like, despite all these shots, it was still a huge problem. And then I saw there was a study showing in within animals, and I think it was rabbits, I think they were doing it on, but that whooping cough would spread from rabbit to rabbit to rabbit after they were vaccinated. So they were getting, you know, maybe a lesser form of the whooping cough. And because they got the vaccination, they didn't suffer the main effects that would come with having whooping cough, but they were able to transmit it to the pertussis to other rabbits.
So by getting the vaccine,
you're spreading it. And so, and I, you know, at the time I was sharing these stories and saying that this was happening because of the study, and I would show the study. And now I think it was last year there was another study released saying that the same thing was happening in people. Again, yeah, if you're a parent and you still want to, you know, vaccinate your kid with the whooping cough stuff, that's fine. You're giving, you know, you may be giving them a lesser form of it. They don't have any of the side effects from it. They don't, you know, they can deal with it, but just know that there is a possibility that that can still be transmitted to other people who aren't vaccinated.
I think with that particular one, what I see is the advertisements that say, look, you know, if grandma doesn't have her whooping cough vaccine, don't let grandma around your baby. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, so-and-so, if they're going to come visit your baby, make sure that they have the pertussis vaccine. Which, you know, if what you say is correct, then if they got their vaccine, then they could spread it to an unvaccinated child.
Correct. And one of the things that I noticed, too, is like these, you know, huge stories when they do have a mumps or measles outbreak or something, you know. They like to focus on that patient zero or whatever that wasn't vaccinated. It's funny because the story will talk about how 43 people were infected with the measles or because of one unvaccinated person. Then you go back and you read, well, why isn't the story actually just as much about the 43 people that are supposedly protected by the vaccine? How do they get it? You know what I mean? Like, so there, it's obviously that, you know, a vaccine is never 100% going to save you or protect you from something. It's really supposed to just increase your odds, right? But we're seeing, you know, in these outbreaks that most of the people who are infected took their vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's
you don't hear about that on the news. That, you know, with the California measles outbreak, the news wants to say, oh, it's these, you know, hippy dippy parents in California that want to treat their kids with ginger root and apple cider vinegar, spread this around. When in fact, it was probably people that were already vaccinated with measles. And some that probably weren't vaccinated.
Well, they like to say that if you've been recently vaccinated, that you should stay away from being in a hospital. There's been stories on that too, and there's obviously a reason for that, you know. But they like to say, well, you're getting a dead vaccine or a dead virus or doing something, you know, an attenuated virus or something. But it doesn't. It's to me, these stories show that if you can pass something on to somebody, it's not that dead to me, you know. It's not that weakened. If you can pass somebody and start an outbreak, you know, and in these cases, it may have been one person that was, you know, but where did he get it from? You know, did he get it from another unvaccinated person? Sometimes you just don't know where it actually came from. So, but I think the news story should just be you know, if we want to keep like a vaccine company like accountable, we should be also asking the questions, how come these 43 people got sick when they're supposed to be, you know, protected? Mm-hmm. It's not like one or two. You know, you could say, well, it just, you know, its efficiency, you know, it prevented tons, but we don't know how much it actually prevented. We just know how much it didn't prevent.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not attacking the vaccines, but here's another thing. Like, if I was to start a business and I had a product that was killing people or making people sick or whatever, you know, even if it was helping some people, you know, there would be people apt to shut me down, right?
Right.
I would also have to have money in order or insurance to be able to pay settlements on people that I've injured with my product. You know, this brings up to the point of the whole vaccine courts that we have. And if you're not aware of that, just Google vaccine court. So basically, one of the things that you keep an actual company, you know, responsible is the fact that they can suffer from some kind of consequence for being unethical. Now, you can Google fraud and any of these corporation names, and you'll see time and time again that, you know, like I said, the bribery, the, you know, falsifying lab results, and you know, embezzling and all these things. You can find that they're all involved in all this stuff. We already know that they're not ethical. You know, they've been proven not to be ethical. Now, what happens when you actually set up a court system to handle vaccine cases? And try to make these pharmaceutical industries immune to any kind of damage that they might take. So what? Basically, there's no real consequence. Yes, the vaccine courts have awarded, I think it's a few billion dollars, like $3 billion in damages over a certain amount of time, and I don't remember what that is, but you can see vaccine court pays out. They have, and they put it on a regular person to prove that your child was damaged or you were damaged by a particular vaccine.
Right.
That's not that easy to do.
No.
You know, if you got a shot and you a week later got sick, well, there's some kind of plausible deniability that you were actually injured by as a result of the shot.
Mm.
You know, it's not like you put the needle in and you just die right there. Though that's probably happened. People have gotten sick or had seizures. That's one of the side effects of the flu shot and other things like that. That's actually in the inserts that come with the actual shot. So if you actually had the box, open that up. If you actually get your hands on it, open it up, pull out the insert, it will label all those side effects that have happened to people. There's news stories of people that had seizures immediately, things like that. There are people that have been injured. Now, these vaccine courts kind of protect the liability of these pharmaceutical industry, but even so, they've still had to pay out billions of damages.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big problems is a lot of times when they settle in a way where, okay, so we know you were injured. We're going to pay you, but we want to be able to deny that it was us. And we don't also want you to talk about it either. You know, and you know when you're raising a kid that's handicapped, has some disability that costs lots and lots of money, and these people don't have it. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to take the $12 million and shut up, you know. And yeah, so that's my big problem with it is this whole there's no real accountability. These companies do have to put some money aside though to be able to handle some of that. If somebody was hurt, they do put money aside to pay those kind of claims out.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of money they make is way more than that.
Oh, I bet.
As a matter of fact, I think they even do that when they get caught with other things. They, you know, let's say they made $4 billion off of something and then had to pay out $2 billion in fines. Well, it looks like we're punishing them, but they still made $2 billion.
Right. Well, I highly doubt that their fines would be that much.
And the fines on top of that, really, you know, I talked about this last time I was here. It's a word. Fine is a word, but really, it doesn't mean anything. If I said, "What's the difference between me saying, okay, I'm going to pay the government $2 billion so that I could make $2 billion," it's kind of like I'm buying a license.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting approval. Now, if I get hit with it later, it's called a fine.
Right.
What's the end result? The same exact thing. I made $2 billion. Government made $2 billion.
Right.
Doesn't really matter. It's just a word, mm-hmm. you know? And that's and it's like as long as you put that bribery at the end, you know, you look like you've been held accountable, which you really haven't because you're still in operation. You're still in existence. But because you paid this money, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's a fee or you know, it's spike protection money. You can still stay in business, but pay this. You know,
oh man, yeah, I hear you. Sorry, guys, I'm sitting here yawning, not because I'm listening to every word you're saying. I was up late last night playing music. Well, so far it's been a good discussion. If you guys, either of you, have anything else to add, I would say let's do that and then maybe wrap it up. I don't have a lot of time myself. A lot more time, I should say. What else do you got there, Jamal? Anything else that...
I can go on about a lot of different topics, but hey, if we want to end it, you can do that.
Well, we'll have you on again then. How about that?
Sounds good.
We'll do another episode here soon. We'll have you on maybe, what is it, the middle of the month? So maybe this time next month or something like that.
I can't wait to see how many people unfriended me after this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice if we could get a notification about that?
That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. But, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I don't like people anyway, so I'm fine with that. I like people, just not annoying people. Anyway, well, Jim, you got anything you'd like to add? Anything?
Well, we were talking about the vaccine compensation fund and the secret court. You know, one thing to think about if you're skeptical of everything we've said. So this court, it's no secret this court is out there to protect vaccine manufacturers, and the premise behind that is that, you know, if we were to go out and sue every single vaccine manufacturer for every case that happened, that they would be underwater and we wouldn't have any vaccines and everybody would be sick with smallpox and the measles and polio and all this, which isn't true. But wouldn't you think that the government would be out there to protect you and not the vaccine manufacturers? You know, just think about that for a second, that it's not there to protect you. It's not there to protect your children that might be injured by these, that might not be. Think about that for a second, which is one thing that we're talking about. You know, hold the government accountable. If the government says we're going to be a part of your life in this particular aspect, then hold them accountable. Talk about this. You know, don't just get shut down by somebody who says, well, the vaccines are safe because science. Well, that's not a freaking argument, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, because science changes. You can change.
Yeah, exactly.
It does change. That's exactly right. Exactly. That's right. No, that's a good point, Jim. That's a really good point.
Nate, you said you wanted to like play a video at the end of...
You know what? Yeah, it has nothing to do with any of this.
Who cares? So, who cares?
All right, look up... we'll get into the conspiracy stuff here. Well, I don't think it's conspiracy if it's you got proof. CNN, fake CNN, right there, top one. Easy enough, huh? I don't know. We don't need a long clip. Go down a couple there, like maybe down to that one or the next one down. Go down. Keep going down. Right there. To go to that. No, wait. Where's the 2-minute one? There was a 2-minute one. Keep going down. Right there. Let's check the bloopers out here. Do we got... some technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen. It is Sunday here in the great state of Minnesota. We have some beautiful weather. We are praying for the people that are affected by the horrible weather across the country here. Denver was getting hit with some crazy snow. Anyways, this is we'll set this up here. This is CNN First Gulf War bloopers. Just some propaganda that they, in the 80s, I guess early 90s, talking about the Gulf War here in the 90s. And... on a fake set.
A fake set where they're actually pretending to be on location?
Right, yep. They're pretending to be in an exotic place over in the Middle East. They got the palm trees there, whatever country.
Well, Cheryl, it was almost exactly 2 hours ago when the sirens went off here in Saudi Arabia. Where we are in eastern Saudi Arabia, there was no problem. However, there was an intercept elsewhere near the capital city, Riyadh. We've got some videotape of that you can take a look at right now. The Saudi military says there were two incoming Scud missiles intercepted by Patriot missiles arcing into the night sky over the Saudi capital. After the intercepts, eyewitnesses reported some ground explosions, and we did have evidence after these intercepts of quite a bit of damage on the ground. Now, what they resulted from, we can't say, but here you see scenes of confusion around apparently a building of some sort. There were a fair number of ambulances around the area after the area around this building was hit. Now, we do not know what caused this damage. Again, we were told by the Saudi military that there were two incoming Scud missiles, that both were intercepted by Patriot missiles, but obviously something hit the ground here with quite a bit of force. Let's stop and listen to what happened. But since we have no proof that this was a Scud impact, I'm just going to say the Saudis say two Scuds were incoming, two Scuds were destroyed. However, some eyewitnesses reported hearing a loud ground explosion, and here's some video shot by CNN just a short time ago, somewhere in Riyadh showing this. And apparently it fits within the guidelines, real tight shots, no reference, but you see a building pretty well mashed, a lot of confusion, a lot of ambulances. Incoming and two were destroyed. That's what we're going to report until they tell us otherwise. But we're going to indicate, however, there was a lot of damage, and some eyewitnesses report hearing a ground explosion. You know, which they did.
Well, I think it was destroyed when it hit the ground.
See, if you say it's destroyed or...
Now, imagine, if you will, one of those little rascals getting through... Bye-bye.
See, they're on a set right now.
Now, again, as we said, we're not sure what caused this. It could possibly, and we emphasize possibly, have been a ground impact of a Scud. It could have been a ground impact of a Patriot, or it could have been the result of debris falling between the two of them. We just don't know right now, but we do know that at least two Scud missiles incoming were fired at Riyadh, and according to the Saudi military, they were both shot down. Charles Jaco, CNN, reporting live from Saudi Arabia.
Live from Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, and I don't. There was one where they actually kind of like duck because there's something coming
exactly
at them.
Right. 2 hours right. ago, when the sirens went off here in Saudi Arabia, where we are in eastern Saudi Arabia, there was no problem. However, there was an intercept elsewhere near the capital city, Riyadh. We've got some videotape of that. You can take a look out right now.
I wonder if this is the one where he puts on the helmet.
To have a
yeah.
short course in missile identification.
I don't think it is.
This is a Scud. You can tell it by its distinctive label. Now, when the missile is launched, the first thing you look for is the plume sticking out behind it. Now, when you detect this, you can tell it's been launched. Thank you.
See the graffiti on it? Yeah, show me graffiti.
Larry King, show or bust. Look at this.
Look
at this. Look at this shit. Look at
that. Let me say hi.
The top 10 things about Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Maybe we could shorten the list to five.
Oh, God. Geopolitics by Dan Quayle.
Je suis un journaliste.
This is on the set right here, behind the scenes. It's
Wolf.
A set.
Wolf.
They're not live in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
CNN. You got CNN... This,
oh,
is,
I love this
is
so
called Operation Mockingbird, and it's about
Russia
to. It's talking about
exactly
getting. This is an official a government document.
Arabia, where we are in eastern Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, you
can no
stop
problem.
It, Jim.
Let me just size my mask and fit it for a second.
You can
just
stop it here. So basically, to wrap up the show here, well, again, totally off. You know, there's a lot of stuff. If you want to see more about this, this is a short 4 minute clip, 5 minute clip, I guess. There's a lot of stuff on about this. Specific interview and this news report, and it's a set. I don't know if this specific CNN host and interview are a part of Operation Mockingbird specifically. You guys know what Operation Mockingbird is?
Yep.
It's a official government program. You can go and look it up yourself on government websites. And
secret campaign by the United States Central Intelligence Agency to influence media, begun in the 1950s. It was originally organized by Cord Meyer and Alan W. Dulles, and was later led by Frank Wisner after Dulles became the head of the CIA. The organization recruited leading American journalists into a network to help present the CIA's views, and funded some student and cultural organizations and magazines as fronts. As it developed, it also worked to influence foreign media and political campaigns, in addition to activities by other operating units of the CIA.
So, check it out for anybody that's listening or watching this. Check it out. This is just another. This is actually a really good example. We're nothing about what our show is about today, but it's a good example.
No, it
showing
absolutely
fraud.
Is.
Yeah, right.
We're just
showing fraud.
You that the bullshit that's out there yeah. that most people just eat up and believe.
Right,
and you know, some people might see this
question
and go,
everything. Question
yeah.
us.
Some right. people might see this and go, "Oh, so what? It's our guys. It's CIA." Now imagine if you're Russia and it was the KGB's operation.
Right.
You know, it's really easy to just to think that, it's our guys, it's on our side, we don't have it that bad, it's not bad. But no, when you have government influencing media, well, you're going to get some bad things happening from that. It's never a good idea.
That's right. We're going to wrap up the show. We want everybody to look into a lot of this stuff. Look into a lot of the stuff we said today, and just look into a lot of the stuff we said, please, whether it's about vaccines or Operation Mockingbird, and mainly just look into the fraud that is government. Look into the fraud that is behind, that is being perpetrated in the government and in the fascistic government that we have, which is business and government having a coercive monopoly. Look into this stuff, you know. And if you don't want to look into it, then look into us, because we are the actual cult leaders of the new Jonestown of 2016, and we wish to get everybody on to drink the Kool-Aid, and our final solution is to take over the world and depopulate it down to 1 million people.
Well, we just want to leave ourselves the reptilian race left.
Right. All right, Jim.
Yeah?
Take us out of here.
All right. Well, this has been Problem Reaction Solution Network. Thank you very much, Jamal, for coming in.
Yeah, man.
Encrypt your data, grow a garden, and practice freedom.
And be excellent to each other. I am Nate.
I am Jim.
And this is the Problem Reaction Solution Network.